Praise the Lord. Good to have you this morning. And I trust God will be so strongly present here that you'll sense the glory. Amen. You'll sense His presence. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. We'll open in prayer. Father, we thank you, O God, for your goodness and grace. Thank you, Father God, for this service, for this day. For this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord God, for the fivefold ministry gifts. Thank you for apostles. Lord, I had a weekend with some apostolic leaders. And Father God, thank you for prophets. There's prophets there as well. Thank you, Lord God, for the ministry of the evangelists. We're glad to have Brother Johnson and his family with us today. And we're glad to have visitors that are here to celebrate also the ordinances of the church, the baptism. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord God, for those that have gathered here. For whatever reason you've drawn us here today, Lord, you have a plan and you have a purpose to accomplish. Build your church, Lord, we pray. May the name of Jesus Christ be over it all. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Some room. Spitting room right here for the evangelists. Get extra anointing in the front. At Harmony, if you need to sit down at any time, just go ahead and sit down. If you need to come to the altar rail for prayer at any time, come to the altar rail. If you need to lay down on the floor, worship the Lord, and so be it. As the Lord leads you, just worship the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord.
Let our nation nation.
Let our nation sing.
Let our nation sing.
To the King of Kings.
Let our people pray.
Let our people pray.
To
Father, I thank you. Thank you for who you are and what you're doing in each of our lives. And Father, we just pray you would have your way in this place today. We're going to switch up the order a little bit and go to one. It's not in the overhead. It's called Still. And it has just such a powerful message. I would just, if you need to sit down, sit down. But just, I would ask that you would just close your eyes and just listen and receive. The declaration, the opening line says, I believe that you are God alone. He's making a way for us when we see no way. He's moving mountains before we even see them. God, I thank you for your faithfulness.
I believe that you are God alone. But sometimes I still try to take control. 'Cause I get scared when I can't see the end. And all you want from me is to let go.
Need for me to be.
parting waters. Mountains I've never seen. I thank you that you provide a way where I see no way at all. I thank you that you know what's on my heart before I even speak it. And yet, when I call, you hear me. I thank you that you are my guard, that you are my strength, and that you are my shield.
The one who reigns forever, he is the breath of mine, the God of angel armies, is always by my side.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, this nation of ours is being attacked by fear. There are more people in churches now today that are suffering from anxiety attacks and panic attacks. And I was talking to a pastor just the other day, and he's succumbed to it now as well. And on medication, that's not a terrible thing. I'm not condemning anyone on medication. Thank you, Jesus. Not self-condemning. But we need to let the Holy Spirit just wash away all the fear from his church. Let a tide of the Holy Spirit come through and wash away all the fear. In the name of Jesus, amen. Just let it wash away. Praise God. Can we sing just that about fear again? Sister, I know you have to jump in, swim in somewhere. Jump in there. Just let it wash away as we sing it. In the name of Jesus. Can you just believe God for it?
I know who goes before me.
Yes, I do.
I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies always by my side.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, that you're a great and awesome and wonderful and beautiful and glorious God. We thank you, Father God, that you're raising up young people to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for those that are getting baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus this afternoon. Those that are taking that step of faith. Those that are walking in obedience to the Lord's command and following after what the Scripture tells us. Father God, we just pray that, Lord, as they go under that water and take on the glorious name of Jesus, that, Lord, as they come up, Father God, that they will, Lord, just be empowered. Lord, we just pray your richest blessing on them and their families. Lord, you got good stuff in store for each one. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for those missionaries that are serving you. They are many, and their needs are many. And we just pray, God, your blessing on each one. Lord, wake us up in the night to pray for them, Father God. Reveal them as we drive to work, Lord. Lord, let us not just give financially toward them, but, Father, help us, Lord, to be mindful of their needs and let the Holy Spirit lead us. Father, we pray, Father God, for the children's ministry coming up, the VBS that's happening here at Harmony, and other VBSs that may be taking place in the region around about. We pray for the Church of Jesus Christ all around this region and pray, God, the Spirit of the living God would move and mightily and fall fresh upon every church, every pastor, every leader, Lord, who names the name of Jesus and is called to serve you. We pray for those that are in government today and ask, Lord God, that you, Lord, would be with our leaders. God, we pray for this nation and pray, Father, that, Lord, get a hold of their hearts, of our Prime Minister, of our Premier, of our Mayor, of our members of Parliament, of our members of provincial legislature, of our councillors. We give them to you, Father, today in divine service. For this we ask in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen and amen. We welcome you guys back. We're always blessed to have the Johnsons with us.
Praise the Lord. Technology at its best right here. It's good to be here at Harmony. Praise God. It's good to see each of you this morning. And I trust that God will just bless your heart, touch you, and help you. And when it's all said and done, we'll be able to say, man, it's been good to be in God's house today. Amen? Hallelujah. We appreciate Pastor North and give honor to him and the First Lady, Sister North, and their family. Josiah's good to see them. And it's good to see Kyle here. Where is he? There he is, Kyle. We go back a long ways. And I'm glad the Lord is doing a great work in Kyle's life, and God's just helping him. Amen? Praise God. I don't know about you. I've never been incarcerated. I've never been in jail. I've been in jail as far as ministering. I've been on this side of the bars. I've never been on the other side. And maybe I deserve to a time or two, but never got caught. I might. Statute of limitations, right? But I'll tell you this, I was bound spiritually, but I'll never forget the day at 16 years of age at a youth camp that God saved my life. Jesus came into my heart, made a huge difference, and I've been serving Him over 30 years now, and I sure ain't going back. I've come too far to turn back. He's a chain breaker, amen? And I'm glad He can break any and every chain that you may have in your life. He's a chain breaker. Worship the Lord as we sing. Can I play your bass, brother?
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you've been trying to fill the same old holes inside, but there's a better.
If you feel lost, He's a way maker.
Oh, if you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking Savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead and night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. Oh, but there's a better life. Oh, there's a better life. Oh, if you go there. Pain-taker. Oh, if you feel lost, He's a way-maker. Oh, if you need freedom or saving, He's a prison-shaking Savior. If you've God changed. He's a chain breaker. If you got pain, have you ever been in pain? Needing God to take it from you? He's here today. Amen.
If you feel low,
oh, he's a way maker. Oh, if you need freedom
or saving,
he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains,
he's a chain breaker. Well, praise God.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Oh, unending love. Amazing. Sing it with us if you know it. Oh, my chains are gone. I've been set free.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. An end in love. Oh, amazing.
Amazing. Thank God. Let's lift our hands this morning. Just give him the praise and the glory. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to get right into the word of the Lord this morning. And while you're turning over there in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 5, Matthew 27, verse 3 through 5. Praise God. While you're turning there, let me put in a little plug, if I could. We just finished our first youth camp up in Verona, at Echo Lake Camp, and man, we had a time, I'm telling you. Only had one accident, Pastor North, one accident the whole time, and it was a pilot error. And I had bought a drone to use for aerial shots to kind of promote our next year's camp, and when I went up, the wind took it. Aren't you glad for the wind? And it stuck in the highest tree at Echo Lake Camp. It's wound up there. Its blades are up there in the tree somewhere. So that was an expensive lesson. Never know what the wind of the Holy Ghost will do in your life, though. If you'll avail to him, he can do great things. So next year around this time, I think it's going to be July 30th through August 2nd, we're going to host our second annual youth camp, and you're definitely invited to come. And have a great time. One of our things we did one day was the Canadian Summer Olympics, and we did canoeing and kayaking and had races. And then we gave each of the kids a cardboard box, and a roll of duct tape, and a plastic bag, and they were to make their boat out of that and paddle with that out to the dock and back. Well, many of them made it about 3 feet, and the box sank. So, man, we had a wonderful time and just enjoyed it so much. We're going to be preaching Ivanhoe Camp. You're welcome to come out to that. It's the last of August, and some of you know where that's at, over by Madoc area, and we'd love to see you there. Matthew 27, verse 3, then Judas, which had betrayed him, speaking of Christ, when he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Each year since 1970, at Madame Tussaud's Wax Museum in England, over in London, England, thousands of international visitors are asked while they're there to name the person, past or present, fictional or nonfiction, whom they hated or feared the most. Amen. So the name that topped the list the most number of times has been Adolf Hitler. And some of them, in fact, several years ago, it was Osama bin Laden. There's a whole lot of people on that list. And if you were to take time this morning and think about the person, maybe in your past, that you feared or hated the most, or at least heard about, maybe not a personal acquaintance of yours, it could be put on this list as well. And many names have been on this list, but as far as I can tell, there's one name that never made the list, and that is Judas Iscariot. Amen. And it kind of surprised me, because when you think about it, this is the man who betrayed Christ. This is the man who sold our Lord and Savior for 30 pieces of silver. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people that have hated him over the years. His name is synonymous with betrayal. Collins English Dictionary took reference of his name. They didn't list any of the other disciples in Collins Dictionary, but they did list Judas in this dictionary, and he defined him as Judas Iscariot, the disciple who betrayed Jesus, a traitor or betrayer. Really, people don't like what Judas did. I mean, and as a result of that, they've not named anything after Judas. I mean, have you ever seen a St. Judas Catholic Church? Amen. I don't think there's ever been one that's ever been named. Years ago, when Bible names were the flavor for naming children, we had Matthews and Ruths and Josiahs and all Micahs and all kinds of good Bible names. But did you ever know anybody that named their baby bouncing boy Judas? Huh? I mean, I don't know anybody in my time, my lifespan, that I've ever come across whose name was Judas. And the reason is because his name means betrayal. I mean, we've had Daniels and Jeremiahs and Aarons and Levi's and Zacchaeuses and Zacharias. We had a family in our church in Arizona where we pastored years ago who had several children, and they were a beautiful Hispanic family. And Brother Pete came to me one day and he said, "Pastor," he said, "my wife is expecting, and when they finally had the little baby boy, he said, I'm going to name him Zachariah. You know, that the guy that was stuck up in the tree. I didn't have the heart to tell him that was Zacchaeus. Amen. I figured he'd find that out eventually. But Bible names were really popular. But I've never, ever heard anybody call their child Judas. So who was this Judas Iscariot? We don't know much about him. But from the scriptures, we discover he was the appointed treasurer of the 12. And we also know that he was a thief stealing from that very same treasury. But what could compel a man to sentence his closest friend to one of the most horrible deaths ever known to mankind? Was it greed? Was it that he was afraid of being found out? Was it the fact that other disciples looked at him as one of the 12, but Christ really knew his heart and he knew who he was? Amen. Maybe it was he just gave place to the devil. That's why the Bible tells us in Ephesians, neither give place to the devil. I want to tell you, when you open up the door to the devil, you're opening up the a host of evil spirits to come in and do havoc in your life. It is so important, even as Christians, that we keep the door closed to the devil. Can you say amen? Amen. And in fact, you don't have to do very much at all to give place to the devil. There are sins of commission, sins that we commit. I mean, if we break one of God's laws, we're committing a sin against him. But there's also sins of omission, things that we don't do that God has given us instruction to. Did you know that baptism is one of the commandments that God gives to us? Amen. We're to follow after the Lord, his example in water baptism. And if we defy
say that and say, I'm not going to be baptized. Really, we are being rebellious towards the command that God has given us. That is a sin of omission. And so you don't have to go very far to give place to the devil. In fact, we think, usually when we think of giving place to the devil, we think of things that we do against God, but these are things that we don't do as well. Amen. So Judas was a friend. He was a disciple. He was a treasure, but he was also a traitor. And here was Judas Iscariot. Amen. And how it must have broken Jesus' heart when Judas stepped out of that ring and he betrayed the Lord with a kiss on his cheek. How it must have broke the Lord's heart. And Judas' name will go down in history being synonymous with betrayal. But the question I want to ask us this morning is this. Amen. When Judas hung himself on that day, what did Judas miss? That's what I want to preach on for a few minutes this morning. What did Judas miss? Amen. You know, before, in our text here, verse 5, it says, he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But if we keep reading, we'll discover that even before Judas hung himself, before Pilate finished questioning Jesus, Judas was dead. In fact, before Barabbas was released, Judas was already dead. Before Jesus was scourged with a whip, Judas was already dead. Before the crown of thorns was pushed on his head, he was already dead. Before Jesus was nailed to that cross, Judas had already hung himself. He'd already ended his life. But the real tragedy is this, when Jesus looked down from the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Judas had already died by his own hand. Amen. When Jesus saw those who had pulled his beard, who had beat him, who had put the crown of thorns on his head, Judas had already ended his life. So the first and the most important thing that Judas missed was this, the pardon of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, you may be one of those that believe that what Judas did was so heinous that there's no way that the Lord could have forgave him. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there is no sin that you can do save the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost that Christ will not forgive you of. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm not talking about just once, but some of us have transgressed his commandments and his laws time and time again, and yet the mercy of the Lord. Hey, some of you wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the second and third chance and fourth chance and fifth chance that Christ gives to us. His mercies are new every day. Great is his faithfulness. The Bible is still true. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Amen. Not willing that any, did you hear that? Any. That means you and I. That means anybody that has done the horrendous acts of violence that we've seen in the news and maybe your family has been a part of, as a victim in some sense. Oh, but there's no sin, amen, that Christ cannot forgive us of. He is not willing that any should perish, amen, but that all should come to repentance. He's not wanting anyone to perish, even Judas. Just as it was Judas' decision to betray Christ, so it was Judas' choice to die unrepentant. Amen. You see, Christ's forgiveness is not dependent on our behavior. Amen. No, it isn't. It doesn't matter even whether we deserve it or not. Amen. Christ's forgiveness that each of us needs is dependent on one thing and one thing alone, and that is the grace of God. Amen. The grace of God that reaches down into a miry pit of sin and pulls a sinner out. Amen. And cleans his heart and gives him a new name in glory. That's the kind of grace that God defines as unmerited or undeserved love of God. And surely Judas needed this, perhaps more than anyone else at that particular time, but he passed it by. He missed the pardon of Christ. And you know what the saddest part of the story is? He came so close. He came so close to forgiveness. I mean, when you think about it, there's four things that are required from us when we talk about the forgiveness of Christ. Acknowledgement of our sin. We must acknowledge that we are sinners. Number two, we must have a sense of remorse for our sin. We got to be sorry for what we've done. Thirdly, we have to have a repentance of and a turning away from our sin. Amen. And then fourth, acceptance of the forgiveness offered us by faith. One of the hardest things to do is forgive ourselves. We get all the way through that. We're sorry for what we've done. And sometimes people are sorry for what they've done after they've been caught. Huh? I mean, there's times when my hand was in the cookie jar and I got caught. Amen. And because of my disobedience, I was punished for that. Oh, yeah. Amen. But understand this. Judas came so close. In fact, in Matthew 27, verse 4, he said, I have sinned. So he declared. He acknowledged his sin. In verse 3 of the same chapter, we read these words. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw he was condemned, repented himself. He repented himself. He was sorry for what he'd done, that he was condemned. He brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, and he cast them down. He turned from his way, if you will. And most of us have felt remorseful over those things that we've done. Amen. But Judas was repentant, and that he would say, what a fool, and what have I done to sell the master? Amen. But yet even with Judas' acknowledgement of his sin and his remorsefulness and his repentance, he still, and even though he turned away from it, he failed to ask Christ for forgiveness. That's the last thing. He missed the pardon of Christ. And while three out of four may be okay in some sense, that one thing can keep you out of heaven. You remember the rich young ruler that went to Christ? He said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, well, you need to do this, 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 and I'm paraphrasing. He said, all these things I've done from my youth. Then the Lord said, go and sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor. And he went away sorrowful because he was really rich. He missed it by one thing. Judas missed the pardon of Christ. Amen. Secondly, he missed peace. He missed the peace of Christ. Oh, how that quality eluded Judas. He seemed to have lived without it, and now it appeared that he died without it. As a pastor and evangelist over the years, I've been at a lot of deathbeds. I've been at deathbeds of some sinners who have not prayed and asked Christ in their heart. I've been at the deathbed of some saints. And I'll tell you, there's a difference between night and day. There is a great difference of those who have the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that'll carry you through the valley of the shadow of death. There's times we had two families in our church in Kansas City where we pastored. One was just a vile family. The other was a godly family. And when their loved one, their grandpa, ended up in the hospital of this vile family, the difference between this family and the godly family of a different time when their grandpa was in the hospital was like night and day. It was just completely different. Oh, the peace that Judas could have had, but he missed it. The peace that Christ promises his disciples. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Even as it was just hours until Judas' lips would touch the cheek of Christ. Amen. That peace that he needed in his life was far from him. Judas missed the pardon of Christ, and he missed the peace of Christ. This world can never give you the peace that only Christ can give. That's why suicide is so high. That's why young people are facing suicide at an alarming rate. Amen. They're giving up on life because they have not peace. Well, they've got a pseudo peace, but it's a peace that only lasts for just a little while and then it's gone. But oh, the peace of God that only Jesus can give. Amen. We'll last through the thick and through the thin, through the trial. Amen. Through the times of desperation, the times of loneliness. And Judas missed the peace of Christ. You know, you can look happy and think you've got the world by the tail. Amen. But sometimes your facade is going to crumble and fall. That smile you put on your face, amen, after a while, it's going to seep through the real troubles of your soul that you're facing. And maybe somebody this morning may not remember anything else about this message, but you need peace in your heart. You're struggling with things. You're going through turmoil and trials. You wrestle in that inner man is wrestling within you, and you need the peace of God. He is here today to help you. Amen. We are granted forgiveness through the grace of God. There was a back in our hometown, a Methodist minister, and I know his wife. She works in ER, and just a wonderful lady. But several years ago, the tragic thing that took place. This minister who had been a part of that church, in that church for many, many years, I don't know what transpired, but he took a revolver out of his drawer and he ended his life in his office. I don't know the background. I don't know why he got to that point, but obviously there was some trouble in his spirit that caused him to take his own life. Oh, my. Amen. When you come down to it, amen, only He can give peace to go through the terrible trials and problems of life. Amen. The third thing that Judas missed was power. He missed power. I think Judas, if you look at his life, was motivated by power. It seems like he had a longing to be a part of, and obviously being the treasurer, maybe that went to his head. Maybe it was a position that he could not really handle. But nevertheless, whatever it was, when Judas came to the end of his relatively short life, he felt so powerless to cope with the events which engulfed him. Judas was so caught up in his own problems, he missed the one thing he craved most, and that was the power. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, this wasn't just a promise given to the 11 disciples and not to Judas, but it was a promise given to every believer. He said in Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. Within 10 days of that promise, a power of unparalleled magnitude swept across the world, and Judas missed the one thing that he could have been a part of, and that was the powerful sharing of the gospel message, which literally has transformed millions of lives throughout the course of history. Amen. It was part of that power that he missed. But fourthly, notice the last thing, and I'm closing with this. He missed not only the pardon, not only did he miss the peace, and not only did he miss the power, but the last thing he missed was he missed the promise. He missed the promise. The promise of eternity with God. Amen. When you look back in John chapter number 14, verse 1 through 3, amen, we use this a lot of times in funerals. John 14, verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, this is the promise, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Church, this is the promise to every Christian, to every believer, everyone who's had their sins washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the eternal reward for all of us as we leave this earth, whether we go by the grave or whether we go in the rapture. This is the promise that Christ has given to us. He's made a mansion for us. There's a little song that says, I'll just be content with a little shack over in glory land. Amen. Jesus isn't making a shack for us. He's building us a mansion. Amen. He's building us a paradise. He is building us a place, amen, that is beyond measure. Our minds can't even comprehend. Our finite minds can't even begin to think about. I mean, neither can we even understand totally what heaven is like. But I'll tell you what, and there's a lot of beautiful places on this earth, but there's nothing like heaven. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know if some of you come to church this morning and you're sick. Maybe got a headache. Maybe you got a backache. None of that stuff up there. No wheelchairs, no crutches, no cancer. Hallelujah. No leukemia, no nervous problems, none of those ailments that we have. No rheumatory problems, rheumatism. Amen. Senior moment. No senior moments. Praise God. Woo! I'm telling you, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. Amen. And the promise, amen, that we have of going there, that's what Judas missed. The promise of heaven. And when we join in the voice of the great multitude as described in Revelation 19 and verse 6 saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Judas' voice won't be heard with that crowd. Amen. When we are seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb and we're partaking of the goodness of God, Judas won't be seated at the marriage supper because he missed the promise of heaven. I preached here last October, getting past your past. And even though Judas' name was synonymous with betrayal, I know because of God's word, if he would have accepted the forgiveness of Christ, he'd be in heaven today. I know it because God's word is sure and it's true. But because he missed it, you say, boy, Brother Dave, you're judging Judas. If somehow, and I'm just going to throw this in here and you can debate it till eternity. If somehow, when he hung himself, if somehow in a split moment of time, he cried out to the Lord for forgiveness, he could have made it. But I'm telling you, I'd sure hate to wait till the last moment. And some people don't have that last moment. We had a Christmas play, and I had one of our bus kids came. We ran a church bus. Two of the church kids came and eventually brought their mother. She got saved. The kids had gotten saved. And, We had a Christmas play, so they invited the dad to come. And he was a rough guy. Boy, just looking at him, he looked rough. But he came and he sat through that play. And at the very end, I gave an altar call. And I pulled for that man's soul. I did everything I knew to coax, beg, plead, try to get him in the altar. Because I knew he needed to be. There was a urgency about it. I don't feel that way about everybody. I bet maybe I should. But there was a special urgency about that man's soul. That was Sunday night. Tuesday we got the terrible, terrible phone call. He was sitting on the tailgate of his truck talking to somebody. And within seconds, he was gone. Massive, massive heart attack. The autopsy, the doctor said that he was dead before he hit the ground. As far as I know, I hope maybe a Monday night or Sunday night after the service, maybe that man went home and made his heart right with God. I can only hope for that. But I sure wouldn't want to wait. I could have preached 100 different things this morning. Could have had you swinging from the fans up here. I am Pentecostal. But I'll tell you this, I sure wouldn't want to wait until it's too late and miss the promise of heaven. And I'm just wondering, the Lord put this on my message, on my heart a few days ago, and then again this morning. I'm just wondering if there's somebody here that's just kind of going to church, doing the church thing, being a nominal Christian, just kind of, but not really committed to Christ. I met one of the most awesome, moral, clean gentlemen that I've ever met in my life. I mean, the guy never cheated on his income tax. Hello. He never cheated on his wife, never cheated on his neighbors. always, he'd give the shirt off his back. He was the most given person I ever seen. But he didn't have Christ in his heart. And that man is just as lost as the person who does some of the most hideous crimes imaginable. He's just as lost. Maybe the Lord's dealing with your heart this morning and you've come, said, well, I've come for a baptismal service. That's great. But wouldn't it be awful if the trumpet of the Lord sounded today, if today was the day that the ark door was closed? I'm talking about the New Testament ark, that opportunity that Christ has given to us Gentiles. Wouldn't it be terrible today if that was closed, never to have another opportunity to make your heart right with God? Father, I pray that you deal with every life in this place. I know that a sobering message indeed, and certainly, Lord, there are other times for rejoicing and other times for victory and shouting and celebration, but I feel, Lord, that you want us to do some soul searching today, because the most important thing that could ever transpire in a person's life is their committal to Jesus Christ, that they would sell out completely to you, Lord, and not miss any of these things that Judas missed. And most importantly, Lord, I pray that you would deal with their hearts before they walk out of this door today and cause them to realize there's still a chance for them to be saved. Maybe there's somebody here, Lord, today who's backslid, who once was saved and yet they've turned their back on you. They've maybe even put on a face, maybe put on a stance that they are. But Lord, it goes more than just being named as a Christian. It goes into being sold out to Christ and walking the walk, not just talking the talk. So Lord, I pray, deal with somebody's heart today in this altar service. Your heads bowed, please, and eyes closed. Saints are praying. I want to ask you the most important question that I can ask you today. Is your heart right with God? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? And if He's not, my friend, today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Not tonight, not tomorrow, because this could be. I'm not trying to scare you, but I want you to be aware of the facts. This could be the last message you ever hear, the last time you ever sit in an altar service, the last time you ever hear an opportunity for Christ to come into your life. Is there anybody here today you'd slip up your hand and say, preacher, I need prayer, I need Jesus? Anybody at all? I want to pray with you, I really do. But more importantly than that, Jesus wants to set you free. Is there anybody here today you'd slip up your hand and say, I am not where I need to be with the Lord, and I want to make it right this morning? The devil will say, you'll be a fool, and what will people say? Hey, this is eternal stuff. Who cares what people think? This is eternal. This is the most important decision you'll ever, ever, ever make. Is there anybody here today that just slip up your hand and say, man, I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to miss the promise. I need the pardon of Christ, and I need the peace of God, and I need the power of the Holy Ghost. Is there anybody? I don't want to drag this out. We got a baptismal and food, but I want you to be aware of the fact that this is something you don't need to pass by. One more time, is there anybody here you'd slip your hand up and say, it's me, preacher. I need the Lord today. I need the Lord today. Oh, God, help us, I pray.
Now may the grace and mercy and peace of God our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you, giving you grace and hope. And now unto Him who reigneth above be glory, laud, dominion, power, and praise, world without end. Amen. Amen.